Hello everyone, hello football fans around the world. Welcome to the Squawker Talker. Today we're covering Liverpool, the pre-season special for the Anfield faithful. I'm joined today by our Chief Content Officer, Amar Singh. Hello, Amar.
Hello, Nick.
How's it going?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Also joining us is James McManus, social media overlord here at Squawker. How are you doing, James?
Overlord, cheers, yeah. Just overlording over here.
Overlording. Right. Yeah. Overlording in the corner. So, Liverpool, fairly decent pre-season. How would you guys evaluate the pre-season's gone for Liverpool? Amar, I'll come to you first.
I think there's been lots of positives to take out of this pre-season. I think it's been pretty extensive. Liverpool played quite a few games. They started way back on the 8th of July with that 1-0 win against Tranmere Rovers. Slowly, Klopp has been adding the more experienced players into the squad. Obviously, the high point is that win against Barcelona. Fantastic example of Klopp's pressing game at its very best. I think the sight of Kevin Stewart dispossessing Sergio Busquets will live long in the memory. It might be one of the great Wembley moments, certainly for Liverpool fans in recent years, that's for sure. So I think there's a lot of positives to take out of it. Ended on a bit of a sour note with that Mainz defeat. I have no idea why the club decided to organise two fixtures in 48 hours.
Strange, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that's
you wouldn't
madness.
Do that on Football Manager, yeah. Let alone in real life with
and
the
also,
same group of players.
Klopp started a very similar 11, didn't he?
Yeah, Chan and Lallana started both games.
Yeah, and it looked like Gruwich ended up taking a knock as well. So, I think it ended on a slightly sour note, really. But overall, I think Liverpool have looked really good in pre-season.
James, for you, I mean, obviously the Barcelona game was the highlight, not just because it's a 4-0 win, you know, things happen in pre-season, but also the way that Liverpool played. Who are you the most impressive performers, you know, who really stand out from pre-season for Klopp and for Liverpool?
I think Sadio Mane is very lively. Barcelona game in particular, but even from the beginning, I think Adam Lallana has been very decent. Adam Lallana just seems to be Klopp's sort of image on the pitch. He's if you could put Klopp what he wants in an ideal player, it would probably be Adam Lallana, and he's responded to that. He's sort of like gone up a level by miles since Klopp's come
That's
in.
That's mad, isn't it? We wouldn't have thought that this time last year.
No.
That someone like Adam Lallana could be an ideal player for Jurgen Klopp. It just shows how good Klopp is as a manager.
Yeah, but also like we beat Dortmund 4-0 in Rodgers' last season in pre-season at Anfield. Lovren scored a header, bossed Dortmund, and then had a terrible season. So Barcelona did put out a very strong 11, and so to beat them 4-0 in the manner Liverpool did is amazing. But at the same time, you have to temper it with where Barcelona as focused, like, have we been here before with Dortmund? Like, it doesn't necessarily point to it's going to be a fantastic season.
And for you, Amar, are there any players that during pre-season which maybe haven't hit the heights that we were expecting? Maybe any question marks over, you know, whether or not they're included? Any players were maybe falling short?
I think, before I go to that, I would like to say also Gruwich has been fantastic as well. I mean, he looks like a really complete midfielder.
And he looks another like, Emre Can, isn't he?
Yeah. He looks fantastic. He looks like he's got all the attributes. He's been likened to Steven Gerrard in terms of his all-round playing ability, his style of play. He's been likened a little bit to Paul Pogba as well. And, you know, these are all big comparisons. Gerrard certainly. We'll see what happens with Pogba. But I think he just that goal against Barcelona was brilliant. Just to have the imagination to go for the header there is a really good sign of a player who really believes in his own ability. Mm-hmm. So Gruwich has been fantastic. And then also some of the youngsters that came through, like Trent Alexander-Arnold, Ovi Ejaria looks very good as well. Shea Ojo has played really well.
Always impresses, doesn't he, when he gets a chance?
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, I think he'll be in and around the first team this season. I think the low point for me, I think Klopp sending Sacco back home from the US because of his antics, his indiscipline, was disappointing. You know, we all regard Sacco as potential future captain for Liverpool, one of the senior players, and I think he had so much support from the club this year with the kind of doping farce that happened with UEFA and WADA that I think it was disappointing for him to get himself into that situation with Klopp. But I think, you know, Sacco is the sort of player that will put that behind him and just, you know, give his all when he's back on the pitch again, when he recovers from his injury.
James, any players for you which didn't quite, you know, do as much as you expected? Any players you were expecting more from during the rest of the season?
I mean, Sturridge hasn't really hit the ground running at all. Firmino, for me, looks like the guy that's going to start up top. So we saw last season the away performance at City played Firmino as a false nine, and Liverpool's best performances have come with Firmino as a fluid front three. And Firmino and Sturridge don't ever really play particularly well together, I don't think, which is a elephant in the room. That's something to solve, because Sturridge is top three strikers in the league. I don't think you can leave him out. He scores too many goals. But they've got to find a way. They just don't work together at the moment. That's what pre-season's for, but it hasn't been solved during pre-season.
Well, we took some time to speak to Jamie Carragher from Sky Sports a bit about Liverpool's pre-season and exactly who they might start up top.
Well, I mean, I've watched a lot of the games. I think Firmino's done well. I think Klopp said he's been the man of the pre-season because he hasn't been there as long as the others. I think Mane's performance, I think, gives you great hope and belief against Barcelona. I like the look of Adam Lallana in a central midfield position against Barcelona as well. And a lot of the judgments come in the Barcelona games. It felt more like a proper game. When you start in pre-season, players are coming on and off. You're playing lower league opposition. It's just about getting fitness. But the closer you get into the Premier League start, that's when you judge it more. And that's why you have to look at that Barcelona game. And there was very few who come out with poor marks, really. Every one of them done themselves the world of good.
Jamie Carragher there discussing Liverpool's pre-season exclusively with Squawker. We talked about it a bit earlier. James mentioned Sturridge and whether or not he features. I mean, what issues, Amar, does Klopp have to deal with before the season starts or as the season begins? Because so far, I mean, all of his managerial decisions seem to be very sage. He's been excellent at motivating the squad. Tactically, they look a lot more compact. So what are the issues that he has to deal with?
Well, yeah, I think Sturridge is certainly it's something that Klopp needs to think about, because on the one hand, he is, of course, hugely significant striker in the Premier League, very clinical. His goals per games ratio is up there with anyone in Europe.
53 and 92 appearances for Liverpool, so
yeah,
good record.
Yeah, it's not to be sniffed at. And, when he has come in, by and large, he's not let Klopp down. I mean, that goal against Sevilla in the Europa League final before it all went belly up was just unbelievable. There's not many other strikers that would score a goal like that. So I think understanding how to utilise Sturridge when he's also conversely got strikers who are much more sorted, much more kind of better suited to the pressing game. So Firmino has been played a lot as a number nine. I don't think it's his best position, but he can do the job. And Origi certainly seems like, you know, the favourite son of Jurgen Klopp, the Joe Allen to Klopp's Brendan Rodgers, if you like. You know, they just seem to have have hit it off, and Origi's just the perfect striker for him. So, you know, I think I think Sturridge has to be the main choice inevitably this season, because he's just so good.
Another person who seems utterly undroppable, James, is Jordan Henderson, who's so impressive during Liverpool's big title run a few years ago. And just last season, it didn't really work out for him. You'd think it was a perfect player for Klopp, someone who's aggressive, likes to get stuck in, likes to make lots of tackles. Liverpool have won more tackles than any other Premier League side since Jurgen Klopp's taken over, and somehow he doesn't seem to fit the mould quite yet.
Klopp doesn't really know what to do with Henderson, I don't think. During last season and a bit in pre-season, he's sort of been playing Henderson deep and Chan further forward. To me, that's the wrong way around. Henderson's pretty good in the final third, I think. I think I always say it, Henderson's performance for England in the England-Germany game that England won 3-2, I think it was, one last minute. Henderson's pressure in that game was unreal, and he got criticised by everyone for that game because he's a criticisable player. Is it a criticisable word? Probably not. But moving on. But
good guess.
Yeah, but he was slagged off a lot for that game, that performance. But I think Henderson further forward is pretty good. And Chan, for me, he's very talented, but Chan goes wandering. I don't think you can trust Chan to play in a two. He just pops up down on the right, the left, further forward. He doesn't sit where he's told. He doesn't play a defined position.
Doesn't Klopp like that, though?
I mean, perhaps, but I mean, if you're asking Jordan Henderson to be a holding man, that isn't why you play Jordan Henderson. For me, I don't understand or even know what the midfield two is. And also, do you play Wijnaldum in that two? Isn't he at number 10? Where's that leave Coutinho? For me, the midfield's a massive jumble, but like there's a lot of quality players, but there's no. I have in my head kind of what I'd play. I'd probably play a three, Wijnaldum, Chan, Henderson, but it's still quite easy to get at. Like if you're Man United and you're turning up at Anfield and you're seeing them three and starting against you in midfield, you're thinking we're gonna have a good day here.
Yeah, for me, the onus is on Emre Can now. I think to really
big season for him.
Yeah,
huge.
This season's huge for him. Make that midfield yours. Be the first name on the team sheet. I think that's the challenge that's facing Emre Can. We've seen he's got all the attributes. He looks like he can play anywhere on the pitch. I mean, indeed, under Rodgers, he pretty much did play anywhere on the pitch. And I think he just needs to become this dominant midfield force that he's threatening to be. And as Maka says, Henderson, I mean, what's his... Probably one of his most exceptional qualities is his pressing, aggressive pressing, which he was brilliant at in 13-14 in the title challenge. And then secondly, chance creation. He's excellent at creating chances. And, you know, putting him in the deeper role absolutely wastes that opportunity. So he's a little bit in limbo at the moment, Henderson. And to have your captain in limbo is not a good situation.
I think to go back to Emre Can, I think we saw in the Europa League final against Sevilla, Can and Milner played in a two and sent him in together. And Sevilla's class and Ava Banega's class on the ball, just keeping things ticking over, controlling the game during like periods where you need to get through. Liverpool just didn't have that at all. We had no game management whatsoever. Can needs to learn that. I think the first 20 minutes in that game was Can at his best. He was brilliant in the air. He's a big lad. He's 6'2", 6'3". Dominates, carries the ball. But he has quiet periods in a game, and it's like he can go from a 9 out of 10 player in the first 20 minutes to a 4 out of 10 player before half time.
Yeah.
And he can't flit in and out of games playing centre mid and a 2, especially if we're looking to him to kind of be that leader in midfield.
One worrying aspect of this is that you touched upon it before with the striker situation, and again in midfield, is that it seems like there's a lot of squad players and a lot of rotation. But today on the Liverpool FC website, Jurgen Klopp saying, you know, he's insisting there's rotation isn't on the agenda, Amar. So it does point to the fact that there's going to be a starting 11. That's going to be they're going to make a title challenge out of it. And, you know, there's going to have to be some decisions made.
Yeah. Well, there's no European football this season, which means that, you know, there's the benefit of Liverpool being able to focus on domestic competitions. So I think absolutely Jurgen Klopp will very quickly establish who his first choice 11 is, what his options are in terms of on the bench. I think it absolutely needs to be something determined as soon as possible.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk a little bit about transfers. Klopp did his business pretty early, and I mean, thank God he did, because the transfer market absolutely exploded from sort of mid-June onwards. And I think, personally, I think Liverpool have done pretty well out of this transfer window. You know, you look at Mane, Wijnaldum, Karius, Klavan, Matip, and even Manninger. Okay, Manninger's not exactly a very exciting transfer, but they've bought a lot. There's a lot of quality.
Says you.
Yeah, says me. Wait till he saves a penalty.
Against Arsenal.
Yeah. there's a lot of quality there, and it's all been sort of procured for, okay, maybe not affordable prices, but, you know, pretty decent amount of money. I mean, James, which signing are you most excited about?
I mean, Liverpool haven't spent a lot of money. I think in the grand scheme of things, Liverpool have had a outlay that you'd have in previous Premier League seasons. Mm-hmm. They haven't. That all of Liverpool's deals are cheaper than Paul Pogba combined.
Mm.
So
that tells you something.
That tells you something. But that shows you they also have money kept back. And I think Klopp, he said when he came in last season, I think he was maybe told that in January there ain't any money there for you, but there'll be money in the summer because of the new TV deal. But he also said, I don't want to bring anyone in. I actually want to train the players I have. And not having European football means it's bad for the young players, like Shea Ojo we mentioned earlier. If Liverpool were in Europe, he'd be getting 15 games this season. Mm. He's probably going to get 5 loaned out in January, which is disappointing. But at the same time, I think the business Liverpool have done is very good. Sadio Mane, I think, is a 15,
looks electric, doesn't he?
He's a 15 goal a season player, and Liverpool haven't had that in a midfielder for some time, really. I think Klavan looks like the player like you wanted Martin Skrtel to be, just like the hard, bald centre half.
No nonsense.
Don't want to run into a dark alley on a Friday night. That's Klavan. That's what you wanted Skrtel to be, that, but he wasn't really up to it. I think Matip's a clever deal on a free. So Ronaldo's exciting. Ronaldo scores 10 goals a season, and I think you just look around the squad now, there's just more goals in it.
Yeah, Amar is, I mean, it's clever business by Klopp, as James mentioned. He's working with the existing squad, similar to what Pochettino has done since he took over at Spurs, very sort of slowly but surely adding the sort of missing parts to his squad while clearing out a lot of the deadwood. Is there anything left on Liverpool's shopping list, really? Is there any parts of the squad that, that you feel need addressed before the start of the season?
Well, I mean, firstly, yeah, I agree that Klopp is not a checkbook manager. He's probably, when his approach to the transfer market is probably converse, you know, in juxtaposition to, say, someone like Mourinho.
Like Ferguson-esque, isn't it? We'll do it if we have to, but I'm happy with how we are.
He'll work with what he's got. He'll bring through young players. I mean, I actually think Ojo's got a great chance of breaking through into the first team this season. I know there's lots of competition for places, but there's nothing I've seen with him that doesn't make me think he can't become a first team player, and Klopp won't give him the chance.
I'd rather Ojo playing than Markovic. Markovic cost 20
million. Markovic, yeah.
He's still at Liverpool.
Exactly. We haven't even mentioned Balotelli.
Yeah.
But yeah, the big issue is, of course, left back. And everyone who saw sort of Moreno's more kind of high profile gaffes last season will know that he's been a weak link for Liverpool, and he hasn't really pushed on. One side of me thinks he's still developing his football brain, and if he can apply that with his incredible pace, then you've got a really good left back then. But I just don't know whether he's ever going to be the left back that Liverpool need. And James Milner, yeah, sure, he can do a job at left back and right back, but I think, you know, if Liverpool have designs on the top four, they need more strength at the back there.
It always seems to be a problem position for Liverpool, left back. Why?
I mean, I saw Steven Gerrard and Jamie Carragher did like a combined 11 a couple of months ago from their, no, it was Carragher and Redknapp, their combined 11 from their time as players at Liverpool. And left back, the best that they could come up with, John Arisa. John Arisa was decent for 2-3 years.
Released the Kraken.
And he was kind of rubbish for 2-3 years after that. And that's probably the best left back Liverpool have had since Bjørnaby, going back to like 95 probably.
Yeah. So, there's been some horror shows since then. Yeah. Julian Dix.
Traore.
Dossena.
Funny how clubs have problems
with Aurelio.
Problem positions like that. Yeah. But there must be some left backs out there that Jurgen Klopp
left
just
back
coaching,
out there.
Who are left back out there on the bench.
Hector was the one, right, that everyone was talking about. One of those kind of 2+2 type transfers. Oh yeah, yeah. Klopp's going to love him. Yeah, he's German. Yeah, let's just get him because he's potentially available. And doesn't look like the club's gone for it.
He said he wants to stay in Germany as well, which isn't
fair enough.
Yeah, the one I'd go for if I had, and I do think Liverpool have quite a bit of dosh still to spend, is Ricardo Rodriguez. He's not like a winger playing left back. You can get away with that in the Liga. Alberto Moreno, if he went back to Sevilla, would be very good in the Liga. Mm. But he's not a Premier League left back.
I wouldn't be against a cheeky little move for Kieran Gibbs. Just a cheeky little move. Arsenal out.
Cheeky.
Yeah, because what has impressed me about Kieran Gibbs is he's not starting for Arsenal, but what he does very well is Wenger brings him on with 20 minutes to go to shore up the team, and he does a defensive job. He's the complete opposite of Alberto Moreno, so he would be a great addition to
Liverpool's
squad. Yeah, exactly. He holds his position, he defends, he knows what his job is. He doesn't go tearing up the wing, you know, and going out of position with the rest of the back four. So I wouldn't mind, Kieran Gibbs would be a good addition.
Any other sort of squad positions that you guys are thinking is, hang on, we need another body here?
I think we still need a holding man.
Mm.
I mean, a proper holding man.
Yeah, Lucas's legs have gone. Every time Liverpool get a new manager, Lucas seems to be the one who immediately impresses the most every single time. Mm. He starts like the first 10 games of their reign, and then I don't know if it's a mental thing, but he always seems to drop off. It must be in training because he just stops getting picked. Mm. Happened under Rodgers, happened when Klopp came in, and then he was linked with a move to Galatasaray. That's fallen through at the last minute because Klopp's called it off. And that's just because we don't have a replacement in. Yeah. But we need a holding man who can run.
And also he can play centre-back as well. So I think Klopp's thinking about that too, because he uses him at centre-back quite a lot. But yeah, I mean, the lack of a combative defensive midfielder, you know, like Lucas was, you know, maybe
peak
5 years
Lucas.
Ago. Peak Lucas, yeah, exactly. We hit peak Lucas about 5 years ago, and we've not seen his like since. Mascherano, I mean, you know, again.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
He's still rapid, isn't he?
He's still quick.
31, playing centre-half for 4 years, he's still rapid.
Well, we spoke to Harry Sethi from Anfield Index a bit more about the Liverpool fans' perspective on the transfer window and if they feel there's anything missing. So I'm joined now by Harry Sethi from Anfield Index, the host of the Preview Pod. Harry, thanks very much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks, Nick. Yeah,
excellent.
No problem at all.
Excellent. I mean, what what really looking for, we're looking for is an understanding of how do the fans feel about Liverpool going into this season? How do they feel about Klopp and the transfers he's made, the moves he's made in the summer market? Is there a sense of optimism around the club, you feel?
Yeah, I'd say generally speaking, there is a sense of optimism around the club, around the fan base. I think it's not much of a shock that Klopp enjoys almost unanimous support from the fan base. You can see the passion, you can see the emphasis that he put on pre-season. He did it all last season as well, emphasising that he wanted more time to train with these players, to recruit some that you feel a bit more in his mould. I think the transfer window has been very interesting because, as is typical with Klopp, he's not really gone after players that you would say are, you know, the bright light names that maybe Manchester United or City have pursued. It's players with very specific profiles. But I think that Liverpool fans are completely trusting in his knowledge, and also trusting in the fact that it seems that all these players, regardless of the fact that they might not be household names, do appear to be pieces that fit very much in a puzzle that you can sort of see what's going on. So unlike Benteke last season, for example, where you're struggling to wonder how he'd fit in months before the signing actually happened. Players like Mane and Grujic and Wijnaldum, you can see where they fit into the system.
And who do you think is going to have the most impact of those signings? I mean, Mane's looked electric. Wijnaldum is, you know, a very interesting player, but you know, there's Joel Matip, there's Ragnar Klavan. There's a lot of interesting players that have balanced out the squad. Who do you think is going to have the most impact?
Yes, I think it'll be interesting. I think you mentioned Ragnar Klavan there. It's I was speaking about him on the preview pod that we've done just for the Arsenal game. It was very interesting because he's I don't think I've ever heard the phrase said as often about a player. Oh, he's decent, isn't he, that Klavan? Because I think the expectations were so low because of people not really knowing about, let's face it, a 30-year-old centre-back from Augsburg. People aren't really going to have followed his career. But there's a hope amongst the fan base that he could be another Sami Hupia, maybe a bit later in his career. It appears to be a solid defender. And I think, despite what people may believe about Lovren's improvement last season, I think there are still some uncertainties there about maybe his rashness at times. And if Klavan is to partner him for the start of the season, which looks likely because of the injuries, I think he could prove to be actually a bit of a shrewd signing and help us maintain some calm back there in organisation. In terms of the most important signing, I think it is hard to look past the likes of Mane, just because obviously he's come to the club and the big question mark is consistency. We can't afford him to have those periods of a season that he did have at Southampton where he goes a couple of months without scoring, look short of confidence. The hope is obviously that Klopp can improve him in that respect, but I think when the prospect of him linking up with players like Coutinho and Firmino, those really great, talented, creative players, and then perhaps giving more room to the likes of Origi, Sturridge, and perhaps Firmino when he plays in that false nine role, that's very exciting. And I think what we've seen so far in pre-season is just, I think the biggest thing that fans have enjoyed is seeing somebody who's able to play on the shoulder and has real electric pace to get away from defenders, which is something we've not had for a while. I think even since Sturridge appears now a bit more reluctant to really hit those afterburners.
Liverpool fans are very, very demanding, and rightly so. I mean, did you get a feeling from the fan base that there's anything left on the Liverpool shopping list? There's maybe a name missing. There's a lot of forward talent. Is there maybe missing like a domineering midfielder? What areas of the squad do you feel need attention?
Yeah, I mean, you're preaching to the choir there when you talk about that dominating midfielder. I mean, I'm a massive, massive fan. I have been for a while, actually, for Emre Can. I do think he's developing into a wonderful midfielder. And I do think that he's still at the stage where, you know, he can be moulded into almost anything that Klopp would like him to do. I think he's got the ability to do box-to-box. He's got the ability to be a deeper player. He's very intelligent, as we saw towards the end of last season, growing in that role all the time. And maybe the same for Grujic as well, who's just come in. He may not get as many games this season, but everything we've seen of him so far, he appears to be a real, real talent. And he's in that similar stage where you can mold these people into anything. But I would just like us to have signed maybe somebody with a bit more pedigree in that deep lying midfield role, mm-hmm. because it's been the cause for concern for Liverpool fans for years. I think, you know, Liverpool fans often been torn on Lucas Leiva, but I think, just being brutally honest about it, he's not been good enough for a while, for many reasons, injuries, you know, ruining his ability to get around the pitch as freely as he used to be able to. But since Mascherano, really, which is, you know, a sport for choice with Mascherano, but I do feel that we've lacked that role. A lot of Liverpool fans would probably shout at me and go mental at me if I didn't mention the fact that, of course, thereafter, or they feel that we need a new left back. I feel like I'm a very lone member of the Alberto Moreno defence committee now.
Oh, wow. Even Alberto Moreno isn't the defence committee for Alberto Moreno.
Exactly. Yeah, he does himself no favours at all. But I just can't help but feel that there is a talent there. There is a use there. But yeah, of course, the rashness. I think everybody would be more comfortable if we got in at least a fullback able to compete with him for that place. But then again, like you say, I think that midfield role, if you get a proper deep line playmaker or defensive midfield player in there, they're able to shield fullbacks, because to be honest, a fullback, even a bad fullback, shouldn't be the difference between you finishing a certain place in the league and, you know, any higher or lower. I don't think so.
Thanks to Harry Sethi there from Anfield Index, talking about the Liverpool fan perspective on the upcoming season. Let's talk a bit about expectations for Liverpool. Always very high, always hit the bar high, rightfully so. One of the biggest clubs.
Massive club, mate.
Massive club, one of the biggest clubs in the world. Last season, eighth, it's their...
It's one for the fans, listen to that.
Yeah, one more for the fans. Last season, eighth position, it's, you know, their joint lowest Premier League finish, along with 2011-12 at 93-94. They haven't got any European football, as Omar mentioned earlier, so they can really focus on getting back into the top four, challenging for a domestic cup, while Klopp continues to build his squad, you know, during the transfer windows that he has. What would represent success this season for Liverpool Football Club? What's the you know, sort of thing that they're aiming at?
Well, you know, to put it in crude terms, silverware is hugely important to a club like Liverpool. It's what fans remember and will cherish. It's what players go into the game for. It builds the strength of the club. It builds your support. Silverware is absolutely important. Liverpool came very close last season twice. The League Cup final, you know, losing to penalties against Manchester City, and of course the Europa League final. So I think Klopp has demonstrated to Liverpool fans that he can deliver. You know, he can take the club very close to cup success. He can get them on a cup run. It'd be great. I mean, it was just absolutely great to see Liverpool lift the FA Cup. You know, I think. We all grew up at a time when Liverpool were winning trophies quite a lot. So, you know, I think it's just absolutely vital that Liverpool reinstill a winning culture within the team. So I think silverware, absolutely vital.
James, Jurgen Klopp is obviously, you know, we knew he was a cup manager before he came to Liverpool, but a League Cup final and Europa League final, which were only lost, let's be honest, because of Man City delivered an incredible performance in the League Cup final, probably their best of the season, their only real world-class performance of the season. And then Sevilla produced a second half, which was utterly astonishing, so quite unlucky in those two finals. Is that going to be the modus operandi? We're not really focusing on a league challenge just yet from Liverpool.
I don't think the squad Klopp has at his disposals anywhere close to a league challenge, even without European football. I don't think the quality is quite there at the back. Mm-hmm. Like we've mentioned, I think we're short a little in midfield, and there's still question marks over the goalkeeper. Karius, just what I saw of him, still he just looked like another Mignolet. Silly,
not another one.
Yeah, just he's got a look like he had a silly pointless error in him. So there are still, like I mentioned earlier, I think if you're a tough team to break down, you're going to look at Liverpool and think they're a bit soft. Like, you can, if you, we can be roughed up, we can be bullied. I don't think we'd necessarily be outplayed. I don't think we're lacking quality. I just think the squad that they have is lacking leaders, and it's a bit soft.
There's a little soft centre there. That's probably a legacy of Rodgers time that's still there. But it'd be interesting to see if Klopp can really, with this squad, he has said this is my squad now. I feel that this is my squad now that I've done these transfers. I've brought in players like Mane, Wijnaldum. It'd be interesting to see if he can instill that heavy metal football, that Gegen pressing that we saw at Borussia Dortmund. I mean, they never looked like a pushover for about 3-4 years. They were just such an unpredictable and such a dynamic team. And if he's going to follow that formula, You know, I think it'd be interesting. It's difficult to see that with this current squad. I think there's still, you know, a combative central defender and a decent left back away, at least, if not then another goalkeeper as well.
Well, okay, maybe Liverpool aren't ready for a title challenge yet, but what would be the minimum expectation for Liverpool this season in your eyes, Amar? I mean, what are you expecting? A good cup run? At least, you know, they've got to be challenging for the top four,
yeah,
surely.
Yeah, I mean, personally, yeah, of course, top four is huge. Getting back into Champions League is huge. But we saw that if the squad's not ready, then there's just no point in being in the Champions League and getting destroyed by Real Madrid. What's the point? Yeah, it's great for the balance sheet. It's great for your TV revenue. But it's about building. What I want to see from Klopp is instilling a football philosophy that runs through the whole of Liverpool, from the kids up to the senior team. A winning mentality, a style of play that is consistent through. Mm-hmm. You want to see him build his own empire here, and I think it's hard to just say, well, you know, yeah, the League Cup will be great, and that's season done, or top fourth place will be a great season. Liverpool is a club that has been built on winning trophies. Everything around it, the mysticism and the, you know, the aura around Liverpool Football Club is based on, you know, all that remarkable success in the 70s and 80s. So I think Liverpool need to just get back to winning silverware. It's just so important.
I think top six is achievable. We've got to be realistic. Top four is the main goal, I think. But Liverpool haven't really cracked top four. Probably cracked it once in the last 7-8 years.
So would you be happy with sixth place and no silverware?
Wouldn't be happy, no. But I mean, European football for me, like you mentioned, there's no point turning up in the Champions League and just being team to get picked apart. I'd rather Europa League football and see him win something.
Final question. Open question. Whoever answers first gets to answer it first.
Do we have buzzers?
I think we need to get some buzzer system going. What are you most looking forward to this season for Liverpool?
I would say, I mean, a player I've got high hopes for this season. I've got high hopes for a few of them, actually. Coutinho is obviously such an important player for Liverpool, such a game changer, an absolute delight to watch. But for me, Firmino is, I think he's had one season under his belt now. He had a great first season, grew in influence in the side, has had a summer where he hasn't had any Olympics, any Copa America, nothing like that. So I've got high hopes for him to become a really influential player in this team.
James?
For me, it's Sadio Mane. I was researching a stat the other day, and over the last two Premier League seasons, he's scored more Premier League goals than Wayne Rooney. He's got 21 goals, Rooney's got 20. Rooney plays for Man United. Mane played for Southampton. And
Southampton, on the right.
Yeah, and Southampton are a form team. They are great for 10 games, then won't win for 10 games. And I think he was kind of reliant on service that wasn't there. I'm looking to see... I think he showed against Barcelona. Lallana has said about Mane in training. He said we realised he was good, but we didn't realise like quite how good he was until we were actually playing with him. The game we lost to Southampton 3-2 last season, when Martin Skrtel was peak Skrtel, came on at half time and just lost Liverpool the game. Martin Skrtel single handedly, but Mane scored two and set up the other. And I think it was that game where Klopp got in his head. Yeah, I'm signing him. Mm. He's someone I need in my team. For me, Mane is huge, and not just to say all the new signings, but Wijnaldum. Liverpool haven't had a 10 goal a season midfielder since Gerrard's 5 years ago. Even Gerrard's last two seasons, he wasn't really a 10 goal a season Premier League player. So I have no idea what position Wijnaldum will play either. So that's exciting.
Mm. He's a quality player. You can see he's got, you know, classic Dutch player. He's so versatile. He's got some great attributes technically. Fantastic, and you know his stats for Newcastle last season in a struggling team, which ultimately got relegated, are fantastic. So, providing he can find his role and assert himself in this starting 11, I think we're going to be in for a treat with him. Absolutely,
fantastic. Well, chaps, thanks very much for joining us. Amar Singh, James McManus, thank you very much. Also, big thank you to Harry Sethi from Anfield Index for his contributions. You've been listening to the Squawker Talker Liverpool pre-season special. Subscribe on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, and we'll see you very, very soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.